the CHGO White Sox podcast, coming to you live from Studio A of our CHGO offices here in the West Loop of Chicago. I'm your host, Sean Anderson. Alongside me, the full CHGO White Sox crew, filling in for our CHGO White Sox beat writer, Vinny Duber. It's Parappa the Rapper.
Welcome in. The last time I wear a beanie on this show.
It's our first time ever having you on the show. We're very excited and glad you can make your mark on the White Sox community.
So way back in, what was that, Herb? 1990-something, me and my brother got a PlayStation, the original recipe PlayStation, and the first game we got with it was Parappa the Rapper, or however you're supposed to pronounce it, and it was impossible. We could not do it. There's the level, the opening level. I think the opening level, because I don't think we got much further than that, where he's at like some sort of like dojo, like doing karate with a man who has an onion for a head. So hard. Then there's one where he's taking a driver's lesson. So how old is Parappa the Rapper? 16,
I
guess.
It's a cartoon, though.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it doesn't, they're not saying Parappa the Rapper is having a joyride. It's not like he's stealing his mom's car. It does seem like.
This is an official thing.
There's no rules.
So you think in the Parappa-verse, you get your driver's license at a younger age.
I think age is just a number in the Parappa-verse. I think, you know, as long as you show maturity, that's all that matters. Gotcha.
And that's why you need to go to karate class with the onion guy.
Exactly. That's the most important thing. There's also a College Humor video from like 2009 where they play that video. So if you're trying to get any footage of Parappa the Rapper, go find it on YouTube.
I've lived it, Sean.
Yeah, yes, you have. I'm going to go bust out my gray PS1 now. Man in the middle is Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him at EchnerWall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. You can follow me at Sean_W_Anderson. You can follow the show at CHGO_White Sox. Make sure you're hitting that thumbs up button. And if you haven't yet, hit that big red subscribe button. We are getting closer and closer to 50,000 subscribers. The Bears show is doing a great job in Indianapolis right now, building up that subscriber base. But why not help us out? If you're a White Sox fan and you haven't subscribed yet, subscribe to our channel. And if you haven't told your friends yet, why not tell them now? We also want to welcome in our new diehards, Kevin, Sarah, Brian, John, Chad, Daniel, Darnell, Jim, and Clement.
Man. Matt Clement?
Just first name Clement.
Oh, okay.
So, like, yeah. Clement Samuels?
Remember, Herb, when they gave out the little microphone topper thing that you put on, that they had you put on your chin? That was funny.
When I think about Matt Clement, I think about that game versus Boston where the White Sox just blitzed him in the ALDS.
And our one audience member, Cody Del Mendo, said Matt Clement, Cubs legend.
Our one audience member.
Thank you very much.
He's got a recurring role all of a sudden.
he looks thrilled about it. For being produced today by Sarah.
Hi.
Hello.
I am not the one who just became a diehard, by the way. I've been a diehard for 2 years now.
Is this the Kevin that became a diehard this last one?
It might be.
Russell Esquire?
I have no idea.
But Kevin, let us know.
Joining us.
Yeah, very, very, very preppy. Be on your best behavior.
Sean, quick question. I'm so sorry. Was that Sarah spelled with an H or an A?
It was no H.
No
H. It was
H.
More like the Fleetwood Mac song off 1977 album, okay. Rumors.
Thank you, Sarah.
Yeah. Bonus track.
Is it a bonus track?
Don't believe it's on the actual originally released album.
I'm only listening to the
You're only listening to it on Spotify. You just assume everything is on there.
Do you know who doesn't know that?
Who?
Pedro Grifo.
No, he doesn't. I don't think he... I feel like you should revisit that topic. I think he likes you.
I was going to ask him that after our interview. Like, it was on my mind. Like, if there's some post-interview banter, I should ask him about his music tastes. And then he had to, do actual Scrap. Work. So, yeah.
See, this might be the thing. Like, last year he was giving those generic-ass answers and couldn't give an answer for which favorite Fleetwood Mac song. Now he's a little bit more relaxed. He's like, nah, I don't even like Fleetwood Mac. I was just joking because, somebody was catching me up. Because how could you? Secondly,
wow.
I know.
I thought you were going to make the joke that it was just like an easy band that everyone likes. Like no one's going to like rip you if
not
that's
gonna
the band
the
you
rock the boat.
Say.
Yeah. I'm the only person that doesn't like Fleetwood Mac. Ever. Who's a universally loved player person? Like Dave Grohl or like Bill Murray. I would be on the other side, but I love both of those guys. I'm on the other side of Fleetwood Mac love. Mostly because my fiance loves them.
So you just
you're
Courtney's
contrarian.
Ruined it.
You're yes. contrarian.
Thank you.
You're not a contrarian. I think that you just don't know what good music is.
Wow.
I mean,
even though
Courtney's played it so much that you just have disdain.
She doesn't play it that much, but she does live into that Silver Spring song.
Also, a bonus track
every once in a while
on the on the release.
And she's like, look how much she hates Lindsay Buckingham.
It's like, true, though. Like, look how much she hates him. She's like, that song is written about their relationship. I don't understand how it's a bonus track anyways. Make sure you're following. Make sure you're subscribing. On today's show, we got Vinny chatting with Eric Fetty, the new White Sox. Then we'll talk about stealing a topic from CHGO Cubs. And then we'll get into some spring training chatter. Michael Kopech is making his first start of spring training tomorrow. Gavin Sheets had a big day today in two White Sox spring training games. He faced off against the Royals, but there was another game against the Mariners as well. So a busy day in the White Sox world. Before we get into the Fetty interview, do we just want to give a huge thank you to everyone out there. I know AJ supported the sale over the past 3 days. He got a diehard varsity jacket, so we're glad that he was able to pick that up. But we did great sale-wise. Very excited about that. I think we outsold all of our other brethrens like DNVR, PHNX, PHLY. So we'll take the victory lap and very excited about that. So if you did buy any merch yesterday, thank you very much for the support. We're very excited for it. And I think the clearance part is so that we could put new stuff in. So it's just more, and it's exciting in, as the day goes by.
Rumor has it.
Rumors has it.
Rumors has it. Good Monday job. Might be a very exciting day.
Oh. Good thing I...
That's what we call a tease. I was just about to say that.
It's a tease. Mm.
Good thing I took that day off. great choice for me. But all right, let's quit wasting time. Let's get into the Eric Fetty interview. Vinny sat down with new White Sox pitcher Eric Fetty, and they started with Eric Fetty's excitement to be a Chicago White Sox.
Honestly, it's been great. You know, I've had a lot of fun getting to know lots of guys, a ton of new faces like me, so I feel like everyone's kind of in the same boat. But, yeah, it's been really good. I feel like, you know, days are going nice and smooth, getting our work done, but I'm having a good time so far.
What was kind of the... I don't know if interest level is the right word, maybe the excitement level to join this group specifically. I mean, you're a free agent in the offseason. What appealed about these guys?
I've said like a big thing appealing was like, you know, I wanted to, you know, be in a rotation and, you know, feel like I could hold down a spot and, you know, hopefully be, you know, a cornerstone for a team. And there was obviously space here. But, you know, it's exciting. Some of the coaching staff I've heard, I was close to Giolito and he loves cats and called him as soon as, you know, I knew the White Sox were making a really serious offer. And, you know, he said it was a place he would for sure come back to. So that was, you know, a good sign.
Nice.
And, Bannon. He's had, you know, a great track record of guys who throw, you know, similar to me. And you know, it's just a place where, you know, you want to play places, but you also want to have success. And you need guys around you that you feel like you can, you know, push in the right direction. So
what was last offseason like for you, kind of, you know, making the changes that you wanted to make to that ended up working out so well in Korea?
Just like the biggest changes.
Just
like,
I mean, yeah. what was the kind of the process like, you know, when the 2022 season ended kind of?
Yeah, it was the big, like, it's time to fix something, you know. My numbers were, you know, they speak for themselves and not being very, very good, especially at the big league level. So it was just kind of what adjustments can I make and grow the way they like adjust to the game. And so, you know, that was like building a breaking ball that was more horizontal than up and down and, you know, really getting a change up to, you know, that was like big for me this year, being able to throw to lefties and righties. That's something I didn't really have much in the big league. So adding those two, but going to a place where, you know, I could get that done here in Arizona and trying to overhaul but while still keeping myself true to myself in some ways.
Where did you grow up? Where are you from?
Born and raised in Vegas.
Vegas. So yeah. What is it like for a Vegas boy to go to Korea?
It's definitely different. You know, luckily I tell people that's a very, westernized culture. You know, they treated me so well, which makes your life a lot easier. But yeah, it's definitely culture shock. You know, one of the hardest parts is like being in the locker room, and it's a lot harder just like, you know, have conversations with the guys, and you know, there's more times than not you're maybe just on your own, but it makes you keep your work on. You know, you don't get distracted talking. You're in the weight room and nobody to talk to, so you'll really get after it. And so there's positives and negatives in that way, but I'm really happy I did it. I mean, it'll be a year I remember for the rest of my life, and probably the biggest year of my baseball baseball career in the sense, so it's good.
What city were you was your team in?
The city is Masson. It's like a suburb of Changwon. It's okay. Like the bigger name in the sense of like being in Glendale of Phoenix.
Sure.
But yeah, it's like as far south as you can go, not very touristy. So stuck out like a sore thumb there. And working class people, but you know, kind of felt it made me really dive into the Korean culture because in Seoul, you know, you can find a lot more American food and stuff, but down there, you know, it's like you're fully in, which I think it was a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, what was, you know, obviously baseball is the same game, right? Whether you're speaking the language or not, you're still playing baseball. What was life like? What was it like?
Yeah. Well, I mean, for baseball, you know, when you play so many games, you get in that schedule of just going to the field every day. But, you know, luckily my girlfriend came with me and we had every Monday off and we'd always try to make a point to, you know, go out and look around and experience it, especially when we played in different cities. So that was good. But everyday life, a lot of walking. It's like living in some big cities. It was at the beginning very tough. Like you feel really awkward going into restaurants and trying to order. But, you know, you started to get the hang of it, know a few more words, and get really good at pointing at things.
Favorite dish? Favorite thing you ate over there?
Oh, man. They have like, it's like a hot pot type. Like, you know, you get veggies and meat. They call it shabu shabu. That was, my favorite thing. There was a place in right below my apartment that, became a frequent at and I guess a regular.
Good smell in the apartment then, probably.
Right? Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, we've heard from Pedro a lot about the message that he's trying to deliver to you guys. What does FAST mean to you?
Yeah, I know it has an acronym to it, but, I like to play fast. I mean, the game is moving with the pitch clock and, you don't want to give people a chance to breathe when you're playing well. I think, you know, we're a team with, you know, not everybody has the highest expectations for it, but if we can start off fast and get the belief and get the guys rolling, I think, why not? You know, I've had conversations. Nobody in here thought the Diamondbacks would be in the World Series last year. You know, there's going to be a team like that every year. And, like, why not us have the belief and, you know, play fast, start fast, and, you know, get going in that direction?
Are you guys already kind of feeling that chip on the shoulder a little bit? I know Pedro talked about the playoff projection and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you never want to be in that situation. It's a different stuff, but, I mean, they're trying to build a culture, and we want to be the start of that. And, you know, that's what Pedro's kind of preached. And it's exciting to, you know, try to build something that's important. And, you know, we're obviously, there's plenty of talented players in here. It's just getting everybody together. And like I said, I think, like, starting off fast, I think it'll be important and getting that belief that, you know, we can do this.
Well, to me, you had to have some guys. I know, obviously, Chris prioritized improving the defense this offseason. Mm-hmm. What's it like to have some guys behind you who you know are going to pick the ball up and throw it to first
base?
Yeah,
I mean, it makes you even more confident as a pitcher going after people in the zone. Obviously, there's quality hitters, but, you know, if you give them too much credit or you're worried about the guys behind you, it makes it even tougher. So, I mean, knowing that even if I give up a hard hit ball, there's a chance to get it out, and, you know, there's lots of quality guys behind you. It's just makes pitching so much easier. And I know they did a good job going out and really get like the defensive quality catchers, and I think that's, you know, huge.
What's it been like working with Maldonado, Stassi, and these guys this spring so far?
Yeah, I haven't even really got to throw to Stassi much this year, but I threw to Maldonado and immediately he was just talking about, like, hey, this is how we kind of like first base coaches on certain teams will try to pick, like, where my gloves at. And he's like, just like veteran things like that. He's like, so if we want to throw up, we know you throw this pitch up in the zone, and we don't want to give anybody a clue, so I'm going to hide that as long as I can. And just like little things like that really add up. And then he teaches it to other guys, and, you know, our young catchers start to pick that kind of stuff up. And, you know, that's super important, and it's already been exciting working with them.
What do you make of some of your fellow pitchers? I don't know how much you've been able to see them through the spring, but Cease, Kopech, the talent that these guys have. What do you make of them?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, like I said, there is a ton of quality here. I mean, Cease is a guy that, you know, if you say he's going to win a Cy Young, you're not shocked, and that's awesome. You know, I know Kopech's been throwing absolute cheese in the pens already. You know, I got to work out with Crochet this year, and I know he's, you know, pushing for a spot in the rotation. He's been, I mean, watching him throw is unbelievable. So, I mean, it's exciting. I think there's, like I said, I think there's a ton of talent, and, you know, we just got to get things to click, and I'm excited for it.
What about your personal expectations for yourself? You know, what do you kind of see in terms of being able to transition the success that you had overseas to back to the big leagues?
Yeah, you know, I want to implement all the things I worked on and, you know, trust that, you know, they're going to be effective. But, you know, a big part for me is, you know, being a guy this team can count on in the sense of going deep into our games and throwing a ton of innings. That's important. Whether you win or lose games, when you go deep, you save bullpens for next day and, you know, give guys breaks and help keep guys on the field. And, you know, that's, to me, an important side that I want to do. Of course, I want to pitch well, keep that ERA low, win lots of games. But, you know, doing those little things, too, they matter and they add up over 162.
You mentioned kind of you guys are trying to build something here. You came in on a multi-year contract. Like, your plan, I'm guessing, is to be here for a bit. Like, what does it feel like to be somebody who could take this team to where Chris sees it going?
Yeah, I think that's just one of those things where, even in the clubhouse as much as on the field, you want to be a leader and lead by example. That's, I think, for sure the best way. I mean, we can all talk a big game, but, you know, being in the gym every day, being in the video room, trying to share knowledge, that's like one of those things where, you know, I had a lot of great pitchers do that for me, learning from Scherzer, Strasburg, guys of just, you know, immense quality. But those guys are good because of what they do behind the scenes. And, you know, anybody that wants to, you know, hopefully learn, I can teach them. And, you know, I look to learn from other guys as well. And, you know, when we sign quality pitchers from, you know, whether it be from the White Sox or other teams, and just creating one big, you know, smart, well-oiled group, you know, that's, I think, important part of the building process.
That is Eric Fettuccini, the new White Sox pitcher. We are excited to see how he will play in 2024, and we'll discuss that interview in just a second. We're going to take a quick break and let you know about our great sponsors like Line and Kugels and Monster Jam. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monster Jam at the Allstate Arena. This is Monster Jam. Unscripted, unexpected, unforgettable. This is Monster Jam. Come see monsters like Stone Crusher, Just Get Her Done, Scooby-Doo, Zombie, El Toro Loco, Megalodon, Monster Mutt Dalmatian, and Gravedigger. If you miss out, you better be dead or in jail. And if you're in jail, break out. Experience big-time family fun at Monster Jam, live at the Allstate Arena, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the Allstate Arena. Link for tickets in the description. Be there, be there, be there, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
And I missed, too. Kevin Russell in the chat is a new diehard.
What a seamless transition.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Kevin, for joining us. Make sure you join that Discord, too, so you can start chatting with AJ and all of us in there.
I don't know how anybody can make it past Monster Mutt the Dalmatian.
Monster Mutt Dalmatian.
If you were going to drive a monster truck, wouldn't you want to be the driver of Monster Mutt Dalmatian?
I mean, now.
Sounds like they're playing at the Double Door later on
this
really. Weekend.
I'm a big fan of Scooby-Doo.
I just want to know if Truckosaurus is going to be there. Well, I don't have a funny voice to read this in other than my own funny voice. But
like, you know, take people, maybe less of a funny voice, but maybe, you know, you take them to a lakeside, right?
Yes, that's true. So picture yourself on a boat on a river.
Maybe there you go. We should play the Cubs theme under this.
The Cubs theme is very nice. But no, guys, if you are up in Wisconsin or anywhere else in this fine country, you can get your hands on a Line and Kugels, because that's what you should be drinking. It's what I'm drinking right now, the Line and Kugels Lakeside Cherry, which is just packed with cherry flavor. Herb's having the Sunset Wheat, which is absolutely delicious. Got a little blueberry in there. And the thing that I like the most about both of these is they've got these little canoers on there,
yeah,
on the can. Man, I want to be these guys, right? Just canoeing around on a lake in Wisconsin, drinking beer. Summer shandy season is coming up, obviously, once it gets a little warmer, and I'm not wearing a winter hat. You can get your hands on a summer shandy or, you know, 150 of them and just drink them all summer long. Get ready to go to the Jewels. You can pick it up wherever beer is sold, obviously. But until then, they've got the Honey Vice. Not only that, the ones I was talking about earlier that we're drinking. It should be your go-to beer whenever you're just hanging out and doing something even vaguely Wisconsin-y. This is one of the tremendous members of the group that I like to call Wisconsin Innovation. They took a cheese curd and said, let's deep fry that and eat it. They took a open piece of concrete on the shores of Lake Michigan and said, no, we need to invite the Black Crows up here and have a summer fest. They took a water park and said, man, it's a bummer we can't do this when it's snowing outside. Why don't we put a roof on it? And of course, they put all the delicious flavors into their line in Kugel's beers. Now, here's the part that I actually have a script to read. Flavor life's simple moments with Line and Kugels. It is the official craft beer of the Chicago White Sox. Go to liney.com/CHGO to find delivery options near you. That's LEINIE.com/CHGO. Or pick up Line and Kugels pretty much anywhere they sell beer. Line and Kugels. Flavor the moment. Celebrate responsibly. The Jacob Line and Kugel Brewing Company in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. I tell you what, Wimpy, they got all my money in Chippewa Falls.
And I'll tell you what, I just noticed something that I'm pretty impressed with.
Huh.
Look at your can, Herb, and then look at Vinny's can. It's different settings.
Yeah.
One's got a sunset because it's sunset wheat.
Absolutely.
And the other one's taking you
lakeside.
Daytime at a lakeside.
And they've got a story back there. They're talking about Rose Line and Kugel on that one. This one, they're just talking about how they make this fresh, refreshing citrus with blueberry drink.
Well, thank you very much, Line and Kugel.
I'm going to have to, I think the ad read tomorrow should be just me reading this. This is wonderful.
Give you a little history lesson of the Jacob Line and Kugel Brewing Company.
Join us tomorrow at around 5:20 p.m.
Chippewa Falls? Yes.
Yes. We love Chippewa Falls. All right, let's get into the Eric Fetty interview. What was your biggest takeaway with chatting with Eric Fetty? Is he taller than Michael Kopech? Is he the tallest man in the rotation?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he's taller than me. Listen, I think the thing to take away, which you can tell by the line of questioning that I had there, is forget for a second that, you know, you're just watching a baseball player or talking to a baseball player. This is a guy who had a pretty unique experience last year. Got to go and spend a year overseas in a foreign country for his work. If you were at a party talking to somebody that had that experience, you'd be sitting there with rapt attention listening to the kind of experience that they had. So I think it's pretty cool that we can dig past the idea of just, oh, here are the mechanical changes you made and had success with in a different league. Here is, you being able to induce a lot of ground balls and win awards, doing your job in a league. Also, tell us what life was like. What was walking down the street, or in his case, down the stairs, right, to get a bite to eat. And so I thought that was cool from a person-to-person standpoint. But listen, he's confident that success is going to translate over. I know we've had questions about it, and we'll continue to until we see him pitch in a regular season game. But he's confident. The White Sox are confident. I think I asked that question to Ethan Katz and said, hey, what makes you guys pretty certain that this is going to go from a league where, what, we've heard it compared to kind of double A, right, and translate to major league success? And he said, take a look at that ground ball rate, 70% last year in Korea. The kind of changes that he made makes that, a little bit more of the norm for him. We're going to see, obviously, if it becomes the norm once he starts facing major league hitting. But that is the thing that the White Sox really look at and say, that's worth banking on. That's worth spending the free agent dollars on. So he's a good guy to talk to. Like I said, he had that cool experience, and I would like to hear more about it as the year goes along. But on the baseball side, the confidence, whether it's from him or the coaching staff and team brass, it's there that it's going to be able to be success that gets carried over from one country to another.
I think the mentality is being, like I said, Pedro and Chris have pretty much set up what the talking points are. And if it's just talking points, fine. But it seems like when you go to Paul DeJong, you get the same answers about, talking about baseball, sharing information with your teammates to, help them, you know, lift as you climb. And you get the same from Michael Kopech. You get today Eric Fetty saying that. It's like, I'm here to help. I'm here to advance this team. And as we were talking about, Sarah brought up, like, he believes. Like, he's like, why not us? In that us against them mentality, they have to have that. We can say whatever we need to say if they're going to win 61 through 85 games. They have to believe that. You know, the Diamondbacks probably in their heart of hearts didn't think they're going to be in the World Series last year, but they thought they were going to be a pretty good team. And I think if you go by man to the Diamondbacks last year in 2023, at the beginning of the year, it's like, what do you got here? And they'd be like, hey, we're going to be a team that you got to be reckoned with this year. And I think the White Sox feel similar things, as he brought it up in that interview. And with also what Vinny said with the ground ball rate being 70%, he struck out over 200 batters in the KBO, which is not a league like the American, like the MLB, where it's strikeouts are rampant. He was the only player in that league in 180 innings that struck out over that 200 men plateau. And he was almost a 6-1, six strikeouts to one walk guy, which is insane. So I'm looking forward to the guy actually pitching for the White Sox. And I know that we're going to overreact either way when he starts. But I think at the end of the year, if, like somebody said, if he's a high threes or low fours ERA guy, that's a win for the White Sox.
Yeah, hey, I mean, he's got a 4.20 ERA, and, you know, he's making 33 starts or 32 starts. I don't think anyone's going to be upset with that. Even, too, I think he's a guy that if he's having a really good start to his season, I know he's got another year after this, but he might be a trade piece. I don't know if the White Sox are going to be competitive, and you mentioned anywhere from 60 to 85 wins for them. That's definitely a big span that they could, you know, be placed in at any point. You know, Fetty might make himself, you know, interesting for another team. I also thought it was interesting that he brings up Lucas Giolito. Of course, Lucas Giolito is going to talk well about Ethan Katz, his former high school pitcher and, you know, White Sox pitching coach for a long time. But those guys being a part of the Nationals organization, both being drafted by the Nationals, working their ways up, and then obviously getting separated once Giolito was traded to the White Sox. But, you know, maybe just the work can continue with Fetty. I think that, you know, we hear about the changes that he made, turning his curveball into a sweeper, and that obviously made him more effective in the KBO. We'll see how that pitch mix works in Major League Baseball. But is this the only strides he can make? I mean, we're very positive about Brian Bannister. He seems to be excited about working with Ethan Katz. Is there another pitch or another way that Eric Fetty could even make his offerings more deceptive, or can he make them more effective? It's going to be just very interesting to see how a guy that struggled so much in 2022
and the years prior,
bounces back. He's a former first round pick, so it's not like he's, you know, a fourth rounder or a fifth rounder or a sixth rounder who just like fell out of like charm or whatever, like a favor with his team. Like, they gave him all the run possible, yep, and he just didn't make it as a major leaguer. It seems like he's made some major league changes to his arsenal.
And it takes some humility and some insight to yourself, knowing yourself, to say, you know what, I'm not doing it here. And then to go to a different country, a whole different country, different customs, different culture, and do what he did. Like, think about, as I talked about, when Cuban players come over here and they got to adjust to what American culture is, the language difference, and then the actual players that are going against them. He did the same, but to Korea. And, you know, it's in between AA or AAA talent. So, yes, he will probably have more success than he would have in the NL East like he was before. But that is a hard thing just mentally to overcome of, hey, I've failed out of the major leagues. And I can see him feeling that way and then going over there and doing his thing over there and coming back to the United States and say, hey, and I'm back and I'm better than ever and I'm now ready to attack this again. Because that takes a leap of faith on your own self. And then you said he's a first round pick to just like downshift and say, all right, I'm going to go to the KBO and see if I can recover and see if I can get my career back to where it is. At the end of the day, he only had like two final suitors, with the White Sox and the Mets being in the finals. So it's good for him that he took that leap of faith. And now he's 31 with $15 million in his pocket in the next 2 years.
One interesting note, too, from spring training, you know, obviously so much attention on what was going on the other side of Camelback Ranch in terms of media attention, you know, the media from Japan coming over to cover Shohei Ohtani. Eric Fetty had a not insignificant amount of Korean media attention in the time that I was at spring training there. You know, hey, he was the MVP and the Cy Young winner, so to speak, in that league last year. So you know, Korean media coming over to cover Major League Baseball spring training are definitely going to go to the guy who was the best player in that league last year.
Right. Made a lasting impression. And I think Kevin in the chat up there said, you know, Fetty looking at his 1.5 career whip and 10 hits per nine in a 5.5 ERA prior to Major League Baseball. It is funny to just see how stinky, for lack of a better word, he was in his previous Major League stint and then be so amazing in Korea, like just a complete opposite end of the spectrum. So it's just going to be interesting from, you know, a baseball standpoint on how this guy adjusts. We've seen Merrill Kelly obviously go overseas and then come back, and he's been better since he's made those changes and went overseas. Same with Miles Michaelis, really didn't make it in the major leagues and then came back.
And what about Eric Fetty's new teammate, Chris Flexen?
And Chris Flexen, there you go, too. We should ask, you should bug Chris Flexen about Korea.
I mean, get them both together.
I'm about to say, you three go out to the favorite Korean barbecue or hot pot spot and get some food and talk.
There you go. I did recommend to Eric Fetty that he, as if you're a North Sider, you know, I recommend he go up to the Jungbu Market and get some Korean groceries up there.
Ooh, yeah. I mean, you can go there on a Friday. I think it's a Friday, and you just get like a ton of raw fish for like $30. It's like one of the best deals in the city.
See, Sean's been to the Jungbu.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's a good.
You're an avid Avondaler.
It's a great spot over there. It's the most friendliest neighborhood, I think, what the sign says. All right, let's let you know about our friends over at Prize Picks. They're the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America, and they are the easiest and most exciting way to play DFS. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Football season may be over, but the action on the floor and ice is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball and hockey moments this time of year. So get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Okay, I got worried when I said Prize Picks. I was like, did I just do a Jules thing? Is it Prize Pick? I got worried that I made that
understand.
Plural. Where you could turn...
You're localizing it, Sean.
Yeah, I am. So the people can understand it. Where you could turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. Conference tournaments are here, which means the biggest moments in college basketball are getting closer. Be a part of the action on Prize Picks for both men's and women's college basketball. And Prize Picks is super easy, really simple to play. If you're like Herb and just know, hey, Io DeSumo's been on fire and hot, you can already just go click more on Io DeSumo's, and then you just need one more player to pick. You can make these entries in less than 60 seconds.
Always go with points, rebounds, and assists with Io. Right. He's only failed me one time.
There's your Herb tip of the day. Go check out our friends at prizepicks.com/CHGO and use code CHGO for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/CHGO and use code CHGO when you sign up. Pick more, pick less. It's easy. It's not as easy as that. It's that easy.
Bless you.
There you go.
Thank you, sir.
I don't know how to read.
Charlie the Bacon Guy is based out of Woodridge, Illinois, and he makes craft bacon and bacon jams with over 30 different flavors. And I got the chili lime the other day, and I cooked about 5 up real quick. And I was like, you know, Charlie says that those things are good for 45 days in the package when they're not open, and then like 5 days after you open them. But like I was thinking, I was like, am I going to eat bacon again in the next 5 days? So I put it in the freezer.
Yes, yeah, you are.
I put it in the freezer. I was like, I want to make sure it's preserved and good. And then I just woke up one day. I was like, bacon time. So I went out and got that chili lime again, and it cooks up perfectly, even out of the freezer. Like, I didn't have to thaw it that long. It cooks up so great, even if you put it in the pan, in the oven, in the air fryer. I prefer just putting it in the oven so it's less splatter, and I think it comes out the best, less limp, and I like it nice and crispy on the edge. Like, if you drop it on the ground, it should break up. That's the type I want it.
Then you can't eat it.
Come on now. Oh, if you drop it on the ground.
If you drop it on the ground, it shatters everywhere.
I mean, our floors are pretty clean. I'll eat it still. It's vacuum sealed and freezes great. Lasts in the package up to 45 days in the fridge, 6 months in the freezer. Bacon jam lasts about 60 days in the fridge and up to 6 months in the freezer. Some of the favorites are maple pepper, cheddar, Korean barbecue, beer cured. Yeah,
Korean barbecue. Let's go.
Eric Fetty can get some of this.
He probably requested it.
Red wine, jardinera, if he wants to indoctrinate himself into Chicago culture. French toast, applewood smoked. As I said, I got the chili lime. Our bacon jam flavors, which I got, is the original, but they also have bourbon, spicy, peach, etc. Bacon jam goes perfectly on anything. Scrambled eggs, toast, crackers, burgers, grilled cheese, cinnamon rolls, or Charlie's favorite, the spoon. You can pick it up which is the most efficient way, or he can deliver your bacon straight to you, or meet you halfway. He makes the bacon so you can bring it home. Head over to charliethebaconguy.com to place your order. On Instagram, it's charliethebaconguy. On Twitter, it's czthebaconguy. Email charliethebaconguy at charliethebaconguy@gmail.com. And his website, charliethebaconguy.com.
Here's a thought. Here's a suggestion. Summer shandy bacon.
Ooh, he made Malort bacon. I mean, I think we can do alcohol and bacon. I think that works. Hey, next time you place an order, just say summer shandy bacon.
The hell is going on here?
What do you mean?
Are you making beer sound effects?
No, not that. I'm talking about the two.
Sarah's cracking beer.
I did. I looked at this. It shows up as the Shiba dog in a combat position, but it's a GIF that you can see on YouTube. But on our end, it comes up like this.
Just the thing. And it's like a dog, and kind of in the Parappa the Rapper dojo. Got it, like a dojo headband.
Sure,
it looks
nice. It looks friendly, but it also looks like it's punching you. Yep. But thank you, Matt from Oak Lawn, for the $5 super sticker, and Courtney for the $5 super sticker as well. We appreciate the Shiba dog in a combat position.
I just thought of some new reference that I wasn't getting.
No. It's just a dog making a cute little,
And that's why William said, graphics, because it's like little stickers that people can like pay us to then put like the little sticker things on it. It's just fun YouTube stuff.
I wish it popped up on Ecamm. That stinks. Anyways, that's Eric Fetty's interview. Thank you to Vinny for grabbing that. We'll have Max Stassi tomorrow to close out on the interview series. Again, if you want to follow Vinny /Parappa the Rapper, follow him at Vinny Duber. And at allchgo.com, there is a transcript of your Pedro Grifol interview as well, if you are looking for more White Sox content. And speaking of content, thank you to Luke Stuckmeyer, because we stole his content idea. It is Leap Day. Happy Leap Day, everybody. Who's the guy from 30 Rock?
Leap Dave Williams.
Yeah, Dave Williams. Everyone said that's a bad episode. I think that's a good bit. Yeah, that's a good bit. Let's celebrate Leap Day by taking some leaps here in 2024. So these are pretty much predictions for the year and just putting a Leap Day spin on it, because why not? I guess we didn't get presidential on Presidential Day.
True.
But anyways, let's start with me, I guess, because Sarah flashed that one first. We'll take you through the categories, and then I guess maybe we'll bounce back and forth. But why don't we start with which player will take a leap? I'm going with Yoan Moncada. And I know that it's tough to say, like, take a leap for a guy that has gotten a $75 million contract, and as Herb is bestowed him before, a top seven third baseman in Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. I really think that this could be a huge year for Yoan. There's a lot of talk about him being healthy. I think that's different than the best shape of your life. I think it does seem a little bit more clear on his feelings on a day-to-day basis. We knew he had COVID in 2020. Didn't really seem like he bounced back a ton in 2021, even though he was still all right. I think if he had a 2020 year, people would be pretty excited. But I think he's going to be even better than 2021. Over the past two seasons, an 86 OPS plus. Before that, a 116 OPS plus. We see how good he was in August. We see how good he was to start off the year at the World Baseball Classic. If Yoan Moncada is healthy, and I know that's a big if, but I really do feel like he is healthy, Yoan Moncada will bounce back, and he will be a top seven third baseman in Major League Baseball in 2024. And I think it might be similar to Cody Bellinger. You look at Yoan Moncada over 2022 to 2023, 790 plate appearances, an OPS plus of 86. Bellinger from 2021 to 2022 had 900 plate appearances, an OPS plus of 66. He was horrible. I think that the health and maybe the clear direction of, hey, I knew it was working in August, you ended on a high note, I think Moncada took that into the offseason. I think he's been healthy this offseason, and I think he's ready to click.
I mean, everything he told us throughout last season and certainly since the end of the season painted the picture of a guy who couldn't play. His back was injured in a way that he could not play. And, you know, as he did in the three years prior, he gutted it out and tried. He missed a lot of games, obviously, at the end of the day. But he tried at times, and it looked awful. He didn't look like he was capable of really doing anything. Once that back started feeling better, like you said, a switch flipped, and he started hitting the hell out of the ball. I mean, I think I was looking at it earlier today. August 7th or something like that is where it kind of bottomed out for him. 214 he was hitting by the time they got to August 7th. That's... come on, that's unacceptable. And then the rest of the way, 42 games, he hits well over, or he hits over 300. So, I mean, he had 30 extra base hits or something like that. So, this is a guy who can do it, and it is about staying healthy. It has been for years now with him. That has been the everything for him and for guys like, you know, other guys on this team too. Like Robert, we saw was healthy last year. You saw what he did. Aloy hasn't really been that healthy, and you see what he has not been able to do. So for Moncada, he falls into the same bucket, and if he's feeling good, there's nothing saying that what you said can't come true.
I think you're right on, Sean, because I think he's also in his position to have protection, whether you believe in protection or not, in the lineup or not. I do, because if you were facing Yoan Moncada with Ari Andrew Benintendi on first base or second, you probably don't want to throw him something off the plate because you know he has a deadly eye usually and can walk a ton. That means you're going to have Luis Robert right behind him. So he'll be seeing a lot more fastballs, a lot more challenge pitches, and I hope Yoan Moncada on, which may be a walk year, will take advantage of that. Today he got an 0-2 slider right over the plate as a right-handed hitter. That's the thing that I saw last year. Like, he kind of improved as a right-handed hitter, drove that into the gap, and drove in a run today. But I agree with you, Sean. Like, Yoan Moncada, I think, if he's not on the IL this year, you'll see great things from Yoan Moncada. Great things.
I'm hoping so. As you mentioned, Vinny, from August 8th to the end of the year, 20 extra base hits, 12 doubles, 8 homers, 316 average, 358 on base percentage. That's 53 walks to 10 strikeouts. And his average exit velocity was around 90.9 near 91 miles per hour, and I don't think he's been over 89 in a while. And like you mentioned, doing it both from the left and right side. So hopefully he's able to get more barrels as he was able to do later in the season and stay healthy. It's all about staying healthy for this team. Vinny, your guy that will take a leap really didn't have, I guess he did. Oh, this isn't your leap.
It is, right?
This guy wasn't injured.
Was the guy supposed to be injured?
No, I was. No. I was going to make a Benintendi joke. I was trying to make it seamless, and now there's a clear seam.
Gotcha.
It's horrendously showing. Mm. But you think Jordan Leisure is going to take a leap?
I do. I think that this guy could end up playing a pretty decent sized role in that bullpen. We keep talking about how we have no idea what that bullpen's going to end up looking like, really, past John Brebbia, who is hurt right now, and Tim Hill, who signed those major league free agent deals. I don't see why Jordan Leisure can't be one of those guys that jumps out. He's impressing the hell out of the guys at spring training. We heard from Ethan Katz say that Andrew Benintendi said he's the best guy that he's faced so far. It really seems like this is a guy who could be one of those late inning guys that they're looking for. You brought it up yesterday on at the end of our show yesterday. You said, "Oh, could Davey Garcia be the closer?" Kind of jokingly, and I said, "Why not? They don't have a closer right now. Someone needs to step into that role. Why can't it be Jordan Leisure?" You know, this is someone who they got in that trade with the Dodgers last year. The numbers in the minor leagues have been very impressive, and now you're getting reports from major leaguers saying that he's very impressive as well. So I could see this guy. Who knows if he's going to be on the opening day roster? Who knows how that ends up shaking out? But by year's end, I think he is a featured player in that bullpen for sure.
Yeah, that's a good pick right there, because like you said, the people have been raving about how he can throw. And since there is no clear-cut closer, he could be seeing, hey, there's an opportunity for me to do something here. With the Dodgers, for the most part, he probably was blocked by all the people arms that they have out there as the Dodgers. Now we can see a clear-cut vision. It's like, okay, if I just do this, that, and the other, I'm in the major leagues, and not only in the major leagues, in a big role. So, yeah, that's a good leap right there, Vinny, because Jordan Leisure has as good of a chance to be the closer of this Chicago White Sox team as anybody, including your guy, Prelander Baroa.
That's whose guy is that?
It's your guy.
Chris Getz.
Is that my guy?
It's Chris Getz's guy.
It's Chris Getz's guy. Yeah. Why isn't it my guy?
I don't know.
Okay. Davey Garcia is my guy. I've made very, very clear who my guy is. Davey Garcia for closer. Yeah, I think Leisure is extremely interesting. You look at Stuff Plus, some models that have AAA Stuff Plus, and Leisure wasn't in AAA for a ton, but the average grade for a fastball and slider is 100. His stuff is 15% better than average stuff. His fastball is 15% better, and his slider is like 21% better than an average fastball and slider. So he's a guy that I think will definitely be a major leaguer this year. I think he'll probably impress this year. It's just really, when will he get called up? Because I think it's more likely that Chavez and Shaw start on the team than Leisure starting on the team and Leisure working his way up when there is a need to replace someone. I think that they're really excited about having depth this year, and there's no reason to rush Leisure into that spot. I think Leisure, maybe like Santos last year, by June, July, August, he's taking over that spot. I think opening day might be a little bit too soon, but he'll definitely take that leap because his stuff is just nasty. Herb.
Yeah.
Max Stassi is nasty?
Yeah. Last year he missed for multiple reasons, off the field stuff and an injury. But if you look at the years before that, like in 21 or 20 and 21, he was an above average hitter. I think hit like 260 those years and brought some power to the table. 20 home runs in those 2 years, 260, 333 on base with a 460 or 452 slugging. If he does that in the limited time he's going to play, because more than likely it'll be Martin Maldonado getting the lion's share of the starts if he's healthy. But whatever Max Stassi can give you, if he goes back to the bat like he did with the Anaheim Angels, I think that's the leap you get from that catching position where you had all negative for the last couple years for the White Sox. I know that Martin Maldonado won't provide a lot of offense. If we're going to be finding offense from our catcher, it'll be somebody like Max Stassi stepping up big time for the old school, when he goes back old school with his Anaheim Angels or Houston Astros days.
I think both Maldonado and Stassi are here to play catcher first and foremost, and I don't want to say anything they provide from an offensive standpoint is gravy, but a lot of it probably would be. We'll see if that happens with either of those guys, but Stassi probably would be a better candidate given his more recent history is a little bit more exciting from an offensive standpoint than Maldonado's. So we'll see if it happens, and if that's the case, maybe you see a lot of those days where they try to find a way to get both of them into the lineup, as we've seen in years past. You know, certainly the first year of Grandal being here comes to mind when McCann was also hitting well. So we'll see what happens. But I think they expect a lot of those guys, or at least some of them, who they went out and got for defensive reasons, to be able to find something offensively. And why can't it be Stassi, you know, more so than Lopez or DeJong or Fletcher or whoever?
Well, and you bring up Grandal. It does seem like, again, they're focusing on defense, and Grandal was such a huge signing for them, and he was such a linchpin for that offense. So now we're trying to at least catcher-wise. Right, supposed to be. Was for, you know, 2021. Years, yeah. It was Barry Bonds for 93 games. Wish that would happen more. But yeah, no, it doesn't seem like the catcher position has much of an emphasis, and like most of this team, the catcher position maybe doesn't have any expectations. As long as they're professional, maybe Max Stassi can impress. And hey, you can listen to Max Stassi tomorrow on the CHGO White Sox podcast, as Vinny Duber sat down and chatted with Herb's pick to leap. That's not catchy.
It works.
All right. I don't know if it does. All right, let's go to Vinny. I know he started with me. I feel like we should have started on the other side. Vinny, you're taking a leap, and what's going to happen this year to Andrew Benintendi?
You have it phrased there as returning to normal. Sure. I think that they're going to get what they wanted, or what they envisioned they were going to get from Andrew Benintendi. Obviously, you know, fans have had a different approach in terms of setting expectations for him based on what that contract looks like. But I think really they paid for what they thought they were going to get from him, which is he doesn't have to hit a lot of home runs. He just has to go out and get on base, do the little things. And listen, that's the kind of thing that we've heard all spring long that Pedro and Chris want to see from this team. I think he could end up being a model for, and probably was supposed to be the first year also, but a model for the way that they envision this team playing. And it doesn't mean that he's going to go out and be an all-star, the best left fielder in baseball. He's going to, you know, live up to the title of the most handsomely paid free agent in club history. But to go out and do what he was brought here to do, get on base, be good at hitting, be a tough out, run the bases well, play decent defense, to do all of those things the way that he was expected to. I think now he's gotten over that hand injury. He's done a little bit of work in the offseason to get himself doing better. So I think that Benintendi shows what he was expected to do by the White Sox in 2024. Whether or not that meets your guys' expectations, I don't know, but that's what I will say.
My expectation is 10 plus home runs, Sean, from Andrew Benintendi, and damn right we're betting again.
Okay.
We're betting, and I'm going to win this one.
All right. Good for you. What do you want me to say?
Give me $100.
You could send me the $100 now.
No, give me $100 in October.
All right, Herb, let's play a quick game. Andrew Benintendi on swinging at pitches in the zone. This is batter run value.
Yes.
When was the last time? BIRV.
Yeah.
This is the last time. When was the last time that Andrew Benintendi had a positive BIRV on swinging pitches at swinging at pitches in the zone?
I'm gonna go with 2019.
2016. Mm-hmm. It was rookie year, and it was 0.5. He has never been. Him swinging at the ball is just not effective. I don't know how else to put it. I don't love the player. I don't love the bat. He's not hitting 10 homers. I'll take that bet.
Sure, but here's the thing. But if he can do that 360 on base percentage,
absolutely.
Then that's very good.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
For their leadoff hitter, considering it was 40 points lower than that last year, and he was the highest on the team.
Yeah, right. Really ugly stuff there. But yeah, I mean, too, if it's around that 360, even 350 where his career's at, I think that'd be very welcomed. If his defense bounces back to a little bit more of normal, that would be welcomed. Like you mentioned first, I don't think the power is going to be there, but as long as he's on base, right? That's all that matters.
And I mean, and here's the thing, like,
10 home runs.
Tim Anderson was a very effective leadoff hitter just by hitting the ball, right? You know what I mean? His average was high, and therefore his on-base percentage was high also. Andrew Benintendi can have a higher on-base percentage than that and therefore be, in some ways, a better leadoff hitter, right? Obviously, Tim had a lot of other things that he was able to bring to that from an emotional standpoint, just a playmaking standpoint on the offensive side. But Benintendi's probably going to be the leadoff man. If he can jack that on-base percentage up, they'll be in a much better spot than they were last year.
Fingers crossed. I mean, I know I'll be $100 richer at the end of the year, but whatever. Hilarious. He, last time he hit 10 home runs is 2021. We'll see if he's able to bounce back. I don't know. 2019 he had 8 too, so or 13. All right. Hey, maybe there's a chance.
Five with a almost broken hand. Come on now.
Yeah, and it took him until August to hit one.
Now he's back.
What did he do in the first 4 months? I mean, you're right. Hey, maybe he'd get one for you in the first 4 months.
And remember, too, this is another thing with the protection behind him. Maybe he runs into a couple more because people are throwing more fastballs. He's a little bit more aggressive in the zone. I know since 2016 he hasn't been, but it's a different team. He's a little bit more relaxed in this team.
On pulled fly balls, his hard hit rate in 2021 was 57.5, 2022, 55.1, 2023, 41.4.
Yeah.
He wasn't hitting the ball hard. It's usually important to hit a homer.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's go on to your leap. What are you going to take a leap and say the White Sox will do in 2024?
Bad defense in 2023. They're going to be much improved, as we spoke about all offseason. They're going to have three gold gloves. One of them is going to be Luis Robert.
Who didn't even win a gold glove last year when he was amazing.
He didn't.
Yeah.
Number two is going to be Nicky Lopez, who was awesome both in Atlanta and Kansas City last year, so second base. And then it could be a myriad of other candidates. Maybe Paul DeJong, who was just pretty much a zero defensive run save guy for both the Cardinals, Blue Jays, and the San Francisco Giants. Maybe it's one of the pitchers, Eric Fetty. Dylan Cease was a plus defensive run save guy last year, so they'll win three. And Yoan Moncada didn't have a good defensive year last year, but we all know that when he plays at the top of his game, he is one of the best third basemen, both with the bat and the glove.
So you're picking Robert, Moncada, Lopez.
I'm not picking the third person, but Robert and Lopez, 100%. And the third one can come from multiple places. DeJong,
you think DeJong's going to win a gold
glove? Moncada or the pitcher.
You think you can go to pitcher?
Yeah.
Hey,
Dylan Cease was pretty good last year.
It's called taking a leap, Sean.
Fetty with all the ground balls.
Yeah,
there you go.
Fetty was decent, too.
All right. Hey, I won't sour it. I like it. I just wanted to know maybe who to look out for.
Not Andrew Vaughn. The
third one.
Sean.
Not Andrew Vaughn. No, and not Andrew Benintendi. None of the Andrews. All right. My leap here. The White Sox will win 75 games in 2024. Mike Petriello of MLB.com was surprised to see when he was putting together the projected top 10 defenses for 2024 that number nine is the Chicago White Sox. We
number
talked
nine.
About
number nine.
Number nine.
Number nine.
We talked about how bad the White Sox were last year, negative 17 outs above average. The year before, negative 17 outs above average. The projection for this team is plus 17 outs above average. So basically gaining 34 runs prevented would be huge for this team. And I think that just makes the games closer. And maybe if the games are closer, there's a little bit more fight from the White Sox. Maybe they're able to turn some of those one-run games into, or one-run losses into some wins. So I think the 62.5 projection from sports books, or even 64.5 with plus money, is a little bit too tough. I think that's a little bit harsh. This team could have a true dramatic flip if they do have better pitching and better defense. And again, they have the, if they have the right hitters up, maybe the right part of their lineup up, they could score their runs, because the lower half is looking a little iffy. But if they're healthy,
I liked your combination of the words dramatic and drastic into dramastic.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to start using that.
Thank you.
But I mean, basically, you guys have voiced the same thing, which is, boy, that defense is going to be a lot better. And I think that that's true. Certainly, it better be, because that was the focus of the offseason for Chris Getz, right? He brought in four new starting position players basically only to be good at defense. I'm not saying that they think that they're all going to, you know, hit a buck 50, but there are guys that have maybe hit not much higher than a buck 50 in recent years. So that defense better be a lot improved. I think it probably will be. It's also just very hard to lose 100 games 2 years in a row. Herb, I think you might be a little overzealous with the three gold gloves, but it's what taking a leap is all about, isn't it?
It is.
So I don't know if I have an exact number quite yet. I'll probably wait till we get closer to opening day to make that call, Sean, in terms of what you're talking about. But certainly to think that this team could lose 100 games 2 years in a row, it seems very, very difficult for any bad team to do that.
This is what taking a leap is all about. It's our time-honored tradition. Every 4 years, we take a leap.
I remember the last time we did it. It was good times.
Great,
4 years ago when we weren't together.
Great to think back. Hey, that was pre-pandemic.
It was
mid-pandemic.
Didn't it start in March?
2020.
Yeah.
Wasn't it
right
March?
Before that, pre-pandemic?
Yeah, so weren't we pre-pandemic?
Sure. It was, the world was in pandemic.
Oh, yeah, America didn't care about the world.
Anyways, let's take a break and we'll get to our final picks here. I want to let you know about our friends over at Ray Chevy. Ray Chevrolet is sharing their best offers all month long with their auto show sales event. Make your way to Ray Chevrolet on Route 12 in Fox Lake to join in on the savings. As one of the top selling Chevy dealers in the Midwest, you'll always be able to shop one of Chicagoland's largest inventories. Plus, you can find the perfect tailgating vehicle at Ray Chevy, because they are offering 0% financing for 72 months on new Silverados with over 100 available. And to top it all off, they're pricing over 125 vehicles under $20,000. Can pricing get more affordable than this? No, it cannot. And everyone loves the word free. That's why this month at Ray Chevrolet in Fox Lake, you'll be able to get a free oil change. I guess not. I should have read this a little bit.
I mean, today?
I mean,
You got to hurry.
I don't know when Ray Chevy closes.
Get there.
But
get up to Fox Lake right now.
I mean, you got to just schedule it, it says.
That's true.
So schedule it today.
You just got to schedule it. So head over
to
RayChevrolet.com. Give them a ring. Mention CHGO. If you schedule it today and mention CHGO, you'll get a free oil change. Visit Ray Chevrolet in Fox Lake or RayChevrolet.com. They've been serving the community since 1963. Find new roads. All right, let's get into one final topic before we wrap it up here. Oh, actually, I guess we got the last.
You got to finish
little bit here.
Leaping.
Yeah, we do. All right, Vinny, why don't you end it with your last pick? What will make you leap into Lake Michigan?
I will leap into Lake Michigan if the Sox play the most extra inning games in baseball.
Fair.
Obviously, Herb and Sean are going to talk about things that adversely affect the chances of this team winning. I, as I repeat all the time, do not care if they win or not, but I do care if I'm at the ballpark longer than I need to be. So extra inning games, no, not my favorite.
Even if they're pitch clock extra innings with a ghost runner. I mean, they're like, it's not even true extra innings.
You're right. I really have no room to complain like I did several years ago, but still.
It's extra. It's in the name. Herb, what's going to make you jump into Lake Michigan?
If this team is injured a goddamn again, I know it's going to be injured, but again, like with all the players, it's not just one crippling injury, which not fine. I wouldn't like that, but you can at least, you know, play over that. If it's not this guy's injured, that guy's injured, and all at the same time or overlapping each other. That's what it seems like the last couple of years. The White Sox have just been bad, firstly, and then also run into the worst luck as far as their players, especially the position players.
Yeah, absolutely. And, two, if a guy like Michael Kopech gets injured, I think if Moncada or Robert gets injured or Cease gets injured, I think that's an easy way to jump right into Lake Michigan. I didn't go there, but I think I'm with you. I think we'll be holding hands if any of those injuries happen as we jump into Lake Michigan. My non-injury one is Kopech to the bullpen. I don't think there's a reason for him not to start 30 games unless he truly goes to the organization and says, I cannot be a starter anymore. I think I'd be more effective in the bullpen. I think the White Sox have every reason to have that leash be 40 feet long on Michael Kopech as a starter. Let him prove as much as he can how bad he is as a starter until you take him from that role. And if they put him in the bullpen by May, June, I'll be in that lake. I know it will probably be pretty tolerable at that point, but it's not like Dan O'Connor jumping. Oh, it's not Dan O'Connor jumping into it today, right? So, you know, it could be worse. Yeah, he's the great lake jumper. Ugh. When you have a name like that, you got to do it every single day.
Isn't that the next variety of Leinenkugels that's coming down the way? Great lake jumper?
And they're going to have a picture of Dan plopping into the lake. But yeah, if Kopech's in the bullpen, I think that would be frustrating.
I think that what you said is true. You're saying it in terms of you hope that. I think that is the case. I think the White Sox are giving him the longest, they keep using the word runway possible to become a major league starting pitcher, the major league starting pitcher that everybody was expecting to see with him. If Michael Kopech ends up in the bullpen, it means they have exhausted every chance to try to make him a starter, and it means things have gone very poorly.
Yeah, right. And I know Bruce Levine's trying to make it happen, trying to ask Chris Getz at every time that he can, well, if he'll be a closer.
And
let's chill, Bruce.
And Bruce isn't the only one. Our comments are filled with this all the time. Like, right. Like, you know, whether or not, I don't even know if that's Bruce's opinion, because so many fans do have that opinion. Right. And so, like, asking that question for the fans who do have that makes sense, because there's so many people out there going, make him the closer, make him the closer, make him the closer. He'd be so good at it. It's worth understanding what the team is doing.
I should have kept that one to myself. Hit that thumbs up button. Make sure that you join us tomorrow at 5 p.m. We'll have Max Stassi to close out Vinny's interview series.
But what about Gavin Sheets's two homers, Sean?
Do you want to talk about it?
No, I just was... Okay. That's what I wanted to say.
I mean, I think it's like should we mention Gavin Sheets's two homers?
We should, and we did.
Okay, yeah. Perfect. Yeah, I think I also want to maybe, if we do go into the Gavin Sheets stuff, people are talking about Jim Thome in the Discord. I know that he's been popping up, so maybe we talk a little Jim Thome and why he's around White Sox camp tomorrow. Make sure you join us at 5 p.m. tomorrow. Hit that subscribe button. Thank you very much for commenting. That's Vinny Duber. You can follow him at Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO White Sox beat writer. That's Herb Lawrence. You can follow him at EckerWall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. And I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me at Sean_W_Anderson. Thank you to Sarah for producing the show. Hit that thumbs up button, and we will see you tomorrow at 5 p.m. Goodbye.